This summer, my wife and I chose to embark on an adventure that we've talked about off and on for quite a while. Probably about 8 years, if I count the time when we first put our house on the market to sell it. We were looking for something that fits our family just a little bit better. That means that when we bought the house, we had one child, a baby, and now we have four children. So we've certainly outgrown a lot of the space. So yes, Shanna and I have decided to move. And as a result, for the past 2 months, I have quite literally handled every single thing that me and the rest of my family members own. And moving it out of one house to the next place. So the first phase of that moving of everything involved packing up all the clutter that we had into one of those shipping containers that they drop off in front of your house and pack up and move away for safekeeping. That happened in late July as we were getting our house prepared for market. Second phase involved moving everything else that we have in our home into a storage unit about 30 feet long by 10 feet wide, 9 feet tall. It's the biggest space I could find. And each of these spaces is filled now as tightly and densely as I can possibly make it. Now, I have to say, like, as much work as it has been, it's actually been a little bit fun in some ways. I enjoy a little bit of physical labor now and then. But this packing things into a storage space is kind of like putting together a demented kind of puzzle. Yesterday, for example, I had a brief victory as I had my gas grill. I had it situated in the storage unit, and you know how those are shaped, kind of awkwardly shaped. Can't really easily put things on top of it, but I figured out how. I put a box on both the left and the right shelves, put a board on top of that, and on top of that, I stacked about three more chairs, another kind of awkwardly shaped thing. It's a beauty to see, I will tell you. My father-in-law, David Harris, has seen it. There's a reason, however, that my wife doesn't come to the storage unit very often. she would certainly cringe seeing the way I'm creatively packing some of this stuff, but I digress. Now, going through this experience has been a very reflective one in touching everything that me and my family have accumulated over the past 15 years since we've been in this home. I'm stunned by how much stuff we have. And also, I'm stunned with how little of it we actually need. So I joke with my wife, Shanna, that I'm going to have that portable container dropped off at the dump because we seriously don't remember all that much stuff that's in it that we actually want to keep. I know that Shanna's desk is in there. I've got some wooden boards of cypress and walnut and oak that I'd like to make stuff out of. A couple bicycles that we don't ever use. But beyond that, I'm not kidding. I don't remember very much what's in there. It's all stuff, I know, that we've decided to keep along the way. But throughout this process, seeing the abundance, and I dare say even excess, I'm exceedingly aware, especially these days, of all of the blessings that God has granted to me and my family to seriously abound. The experience has given me a chance to put everything into view in a literal sense. I can see it all in a view. The process has made me abundantly, it has been made abundantly clear to me how much God has been in our lives and how he has made so much possible. It's given me a chance to express my own gratitude to God for what he has offered us. And that is the title of this offertory today, it's gratitude. Let's turn over to Malachi 3, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 10. Malachi 3, beginning in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? in tithes and offerings. Are you cursed with a curse? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. When we read this, it should be very clear that God expects us to give back to him of the blessings that he offers to us. And if we neglect to do so, it is tantamount to robbery, as is expressed here. It can be a scary thing to do, to give what we have, especially when we face expenses in life and inflation without maybe our wages increasing at the same rate. Giving our hard-earned money to God when we might already have a hard time meeting our expenses can be a scary thing to do. But God says, try me. Just try me. See what happens if you give back to me. And God provides all that we need. Yes, and he blesses us with even much, much more. So much that even 4,000 cubic feet would not be enough to contain it. Let's go over to Philippians 4 and read verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We ought to have a mind of thanksgiving, of gratitude, when we present our offerings to God. That is the mindset that we should have. We remember that by his mercy, we are saved. By his abundant blessings, we have everything that we have, whether it's relationships, in our family, the children that we have, even the material possessions that we've been blessed with. We also have a tremendous opportunity to be called out of this world to a better way of life. We're forerunners and first fruits. In this day and age, that is a very special thing. It is something to be extremely grateful for. And that is something that cannot be purchased. For those who have been baptized, God has given to us his Holy Spirit. He's chosen you and I because he wants us to be vessels of his Holy Spirit as begotten children of God. The gifts that we have, I hope I'm expressing it clearly enough, are great. They are tremendous. They are awesome. In the true sense of the word, awesome. It should not be a difficult decision for us to give back to him just a little bit, to show him how grateful we are. If we are apprehensive about giving an offering to God, we should consider this scripture that we've read here. To be anxious for nothing, but to pray in faith to God, thanking him for what he has given to us and that he will continue to provide for us all that we need. And when we do, the peace of God, and I cannot stress this enough. I can't imagine a better peace to have than the peace of God. That peace, that will guard our hearts. And when we have peace, we have a much easier time of letting go and of expressing our gratitude. Today is the Feast of Trumpets, and I'd like to read one scripture that expresses what we are to do on the Feast of Trumpets. Turn with me to Leviticus 23:23. Something I haven't mentioned yet, I've alluded to it, as we have sold our house. We are in the process of buying a new one, but we can't move into it until late November, which means that Mr. and Mrs. Harris have kindly invited us into the basement of their home. And even so, I have not checked with Mr. Harris to see if he's going to cover this scripture. I assume that he might. So, Leviticus 23:23 states this, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, and on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Today is the Feast of Trumpets, and we are here, and we are expected to bring an offering. That is a commandment of God. It is something that we are privileged to do, and it is something that we can have a mindset of gratefulness, of gratitude when we do so. Turn over with me to 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 14. This is where David was collecting materials, raw materials, to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. We have this example to follow. This passage in the context of supporting the work of God on this earth, in this case it was to build the temple. Today it is to preach the gospel in the way that you're receiving it with this digital media and printed material, with the ministry in support of getting the word out. That's what it takes. It takes offerings in order to make these things happen. That is what your offering today will do. David here acknowledges that all of the possessions that we have, all of the possessions that anybody has, whether small or great, they are all from God. And he expresses the importance of submission to God's will, who gives strength and abundance to everybody. And in glorifying God, he gives thanks to him for the opportunity to give back to him. As we prepare to give our offering today, which we are commanded to do, take a moment to be grateful to God for what he has given you. Whether small or great, or all of the above, consider all that you've been given. It is all a gift from God, who watches over you, who cares for you, who guards your heart with his peace. That gratitude in our hearts contributes to our desire to give an offering to God with a willing heart. And now, we will have some special music and take up an offering as we are commanded to do.